Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi guys, and welcome to this week's Snowcast. I'm your host as ever, DJ Walsh, joined by my great co-host Owen Tabb. And this week we're joined by a very special guest, not Keith Richards, but Keith Daniels. As this is take two, I call him Keith Richards back in the first step. Keith is here from Against the Current. He's organising this year the first ever Waterford Retro Festival, and we're absolutely delighted to chat about him. It's about a month away when this is coming out, so it's good to get in, get everyone listening, get everyone down to the festival when takes off. So, Keith, you're very welcome to the Snowcast.
Thanks, guys, for having me. I'm looking forward to hearing this now as well, so hopefully it'll come out okay.
Yeah, hopefully it comes out okay. So, Keith, in fairness, you were telling us there just before we came on air that you're up the walls at the moment. So, usually at the start, we ask people what they're drinking tonight. You've a paper due, you're organising a festival, you're going 24-7, so... You need a bit of extra hydration.
Yeah, I'm on the old Ishka there now tonight. Now, I won't mind a pint of Heineken now, I tell you, I'm gasping.
You heard him, get it?
Yes. Keith's on the water because he's going, in fairness, you're fairly devoting. We really appreciate you coming down and spending a bit of time with us, coming down from the library. So, Keith's on the water, but Owen, you're a man of much less devotion to your studies. What are you drinking tonight?
Tully's again here tonight, and I'm on the Elevation Pale Ale by Wicklow Wolf. It's a 4.8%er, and it's a peach. You had this last week, did you?
Well, no, not in the podcast. I was here Saturday night with Paul before he left.
And, all right, not everything's on the podcast, all right?
No. I don't stop thinking about it, though. I was here with Paul Saturday night, had a few of them, and then had a few 12 acres. Great night Saturday night. Good band in here too.
It's fucking delicious, sessionable enough. It's fairly malty as well, which I quite like. I'm actually after getting into these kind of malty ales and stuff now, like, so they're fucking savage. Bit of fruit as well off it, so it's a winner in my books, you know. I'll give it a tabs, two thumbs up.
two tab thumbs.
And what are you drinking there tonight?
So tonight I am on the 8 Degrees collaboration, the Yellow Ball. It's a double dry hopped IPA, 5.9%. Now 5.9% is a bit high to go on the session with, but it'll lull you into a false sense of security. It's very crisp, very dry. It's double dry hop, so...
Is that 1-0 Ren, is it?
Yeah, Ren just scored there, 1-0 I think. The match is on in the background here, lads. Tully's always have the match on. 5.9%, very juicy. Some sweet stones come through. Lovely bitter aftertaste. I love a little bitter aftertaste in a pale ale because it makes you want to come back for more. It's actually a collaboration with the Bale Breakers from Washington and also Revolution Brewing in Chicago. So they had a threesome, and this is what they produced.
How the fuck do these boys get like these collaborations? Like it's amazing for like Irish craft brewers and stuff. Like these collaborations with like these American brewers around. Like it's I don't know. I just I'd love to. We must do an interview with the boys and like.
We must get to America.
Yeah,
start
yeah.
To go, start to go fund me to go over and tour these boys. We go to Left Hand in Colorado. We go to boys in Washington. The boys in Chicago. Keith, just our podcast is basically pub chat. And I moved to Waterford 3 years ago. And before I moved to Waterford, obviously a lot of what you do is very much promoting Waterford. When I moved to Waterford, when I was coming down here, I moved here from Cork, having grown up, gone to school in Cork and everything, and everyone's saying, like, what's in Waterford? There's nothing in Waterford. Being honest with you, 3 years, I never go back because the quality of pub scenes, the big nightclubs aren't there that you'd have in Dublin and Cork, but just the pub chat, the pub scene is so good in Waterford. Like, you're a man that's, as you said to us before we came on air, and this is our first time meeting, is fond of a pint. Just before we get into the nitty gritty of your stuff in the festival, just your impression on the Waterford pub scene at the moment is thriving.
Yeah, Waterford is, like, there's a couple of, it's just more, actually, I'm an ex-publican as well. I had my own pub in Tramore in 2010. It didn't last long now, unfortunately. Celtic Tiger got a grip of it, but the Tramore is a little bit, I suppose, out a bit. It's a big populated area. But it's obviously the city centre, or the town centre, I should say, don't get enough support. Well, just because it's such a satellite there, it'd be a shame. But there are some lovely pubs. But going back to the city where I was born and bred, this pub, it's ironic, this pub, my friend actually grew up in this pub. His mum owned it before Tully's. It was McLaughlin, Ali McLaughlin, yeah. So Niall is actually DJ, and he's DJ Naylor for the Canstop 25th. And I was in upstairs, and when he was growing up, we went to school together. So it's kind of ironic we're in this pub now, and, you know, hopefully he'll have a listen to it as well. But the other pubs, just Tommy Mars across the road, you know, that's got great character, great history.
An institution.
And a history behind it. Like, yeah. Barry, that's one of the guys over there. Me and Barry went to school since we're in junior infants. And, there's only recently left women to serve women and all that, you know.
We actually did a special when we did the 12 pubs of Christmas. We did the 12 snugs, and we recorded a little bit in each bar, and we recorded a brilliant bit in Tommy Maher's bar. In fairness, Owen, who's Waterford born and bred as well, went into a bit of the history, and we got some feedback from some foreign listeners about just the character of the pub. There was a guy in Carolina got onto us, Brian Ferries. Shout out to Brian, who said, like, he can't wait to come over and see this pub that has so much history and everything. Like, it's just a brilliant pub scene altogether, isn't
but
it?
But it's also great that there's another pub after opening up recently as well, as J.K. Welch's is up the road. There was a man there, we used to call him John, poor guy was blind as a bat, he's got binoculars on his head. We used to call him Johnny Bullseyes, poor old guy got mugged for time, poor guy lived on his own. But they've got that up there, and I was actually up there, my friend Colin now is after getting the bar job up there. And I called into him, I promised him I would, and he brought me upstairs, and Emma De Valera had his meetings, and he was on the run in the War of Independence and things. He used to have his meetings upstairs, brought me up to the room, there's loads of characters, fantastic. I was looking at things and all that.
Some amazing buildings. I'll tell you a quick story about Emma De Valera before we get into this nitty gritty. So my grandfather was a Garda, and I was living with my grandparents, actually. I had just got the job in Waterford, and it was temporary, didn't know if I was staying, and they live in Clonmel now. So my grandfather was a Garda. And in 1966, the 50th commemoration of the 1916 Rising, he was stationed at the clock tower. And at the time, in Waterford here for the listeners, and at the time the river came to as far as the clock tower, like, that was it, and there was no barrier. And De Valera, speaking of blind men, De Valera was fucking blind as a bat himself. And he was, the parade was coming down, and De Valera was on the far left of the parade. And as the parade swung right to go down the quay, De Valera kept going, and my grandfather caught him just before he was about to walk into the river. He was walking straight past the clock tower.
But there are other pubs as well in Waterford. Like, if you look at this area here now, which has kind of got the tone of the Waterford Cultural Quarter, the council are trying to, I'm working with the council as well on it, to try and, we'll have this festival, it'll be a big asset to it. But this area here where Connor Street was once the height, it was the nightlife area, the whole town. You had across the road, you had the Roxy, you had the Bridge of Greens, you had the Metroland. It was a brilliant place, and you had all the pubs on the quays as well. So, but it kind of moved, I'd say, about 15 years ago. I suppose 20 years ago, Fat Sam's was really the first one that kind of made it. It was actually my uncle, John Cavanagh, owned it. And he kind of had the first late bar, so he put the prices up, you know, yourself, just a couple of 20 pence. Yeah. But that was to pay for the late extensions and things like that. And then up there, like, there was hardly anything else up there. So now, look, if you look at the Apple Market area, well, obviously Jeff's was up there. Jeff's is an institution as well, you know.
Just
it's fantastic.
Yeah, actually, there, like, I fucking, like, retweeted a post earlier on, and it was, just some girl on Twitter said, like, Happy, Jeff's. Sad, Jeff's. Busy, Jeff's. Working, Jeff's. Like, it's just, you never have a bad night in Jeff's.
All occasions, like,
it is, it is. It's institution. But you know how Jeff started off, and in the documentary that we made, so I'll come into it about the festival in a second, but this all started from a documentary that, and it's good, it's very important for the pub scene as well, like, and what you're doing. Is this documentary, was about subcultures in Waterford from 1979 to 96, and I was involved in two or three of them, actually. I was a mod in the 80s, and then I ended up being a scooter boy, and we had our own scooter club here. Then I got into the dance scene in the 90s and things like that. But what happened was, we were like, we looked at it, we did the freewheelers as the biker side of it, then we did the whole new music moves, Norris Minor side, so that was the punk new wave and Goths and New Romantics. So the documentary's broken into four, really, and that was that one. But Jeff's was also known as an institution back then. It was only a small little bar. It was Jeff's uncle owned at the pub, and Jeff one night turned around and put a turntable at the end of the bar and said, look, you know, bring in your records. And that's how it became a music bar.
Oh, brilliant.
So the boys would bring in their music and they'd play anything across the board, it didn't matter. So punk was being played, to soul music, to rock music. So, and that's how we got the name of the thing. And the Norris Minor now, which is Norris's pub, but they had upstairs, that's still in inner city, but it's kind of like obviously outside the city centre. And then you have a couple of lovely new pubs as well. That's after opening up, like there's a new microbrewery pub kind of after opening up there in John's Hill or John Street, Grady's Yard.
We've been there, we did interviews with the boys
and they started to do food now. I'm delighted now too as well. Jesus. Tom now is a friend of mine, he's the new chef in there. They only started last week, so I wish them the best of luck anyway in their new venture.
Would you believe I went in on Saturday at 8:15 being like, jeez, I can't wait to see this new menu. So the food is 12 to 8, lads.
But also, I better say this though, since we're talking about pubs, the lads in the Mansion House, Decky and all the staff, because I have a few pints in there during the week watching the football, they'd kill me if I didn't give them up. And the lovely food Aisling cooks in there. So anyway, so if I go back anyway, look, I'll tell you about the gig that's happening anyway, and this is why the interview is happening. On the Friday the 12th to Sunday the 14th of April, we're doing the Waterford Retro Festival. And it's all come back on the back of the documentary, and I've been involved in music and the promoting over the years, so it was a natural progression for to do it. So I also then knew then that there were so many different subcultures in this that I could take and pick out from different ones. So anyway, what I decided to do anyway was, on Friday night we're going to just have music in the Tully's, we're going to have music in Downs's, and we're going to have music in the tea parlour rooms. And basically then we'll have the Can't Stop's 25th anniversary in the Factory. Now the Factory gig is the only one outside of the Cultural Quarter, because I wanted to try and keep it down here, because there's lovely like buildings here, all Victorian, Ivorian, and you know, and you have a little small little kind of, psychologically it makes great. So that'll be, because it was the only suitable venue. So I suppose the big gig on Friday night is Can't Stop's 25th anniversary, which was a club in Waterford, a dance club in the early 90s with Waterford house music. Well, it didn't really bring it was Tasty that did, but it brought house music in Waterford to a very high place, and recognised not only in Ireland but across Europe and the States as well. And basically that's the 25th anniversary. That's Liam Dollar coming down from Dublin, who was one of the pioneering guys from house music in Dublin in the late 80s and 90s. And Naylor, whose pub this was once, Niall McLaughlin, Ali McLaughlin was the proprietor here, and Donny's dad. And so that's on Friday. So on Saturday, I suppose, is when it all kicks off. I have the exhibition going on 44 The Quay on Friday, actually, Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 6. And that's an exhibition of all the memorabilia that's from there. So be photographs, scooters, motorbikes, clothing, posters, ticket stubs, etc. So that's all going to be down 44 Quay. And the guys have been brilliant. They'll give me the venue as well. We also have the documentary showing as well in Garter Lane on Friday night the 12th. Now that'll be private viewing on the 12th, because it's going to be all the people interviewed and their families and things like that. And then on Saturday with the documentary, this is all in Garter Lane, the documentary. So we're going to have that on Saturday, 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So there'll be two matinees on Saturday. Then what we're looking at then obviously is the street festival. So we're doing a street festival on Saturday and Sunday here on O'Connor Street, a section of O'Connor Street and Hanover Street. So on Saturday the 13th of April we'll have Hanover Street, and we'll have this section of O'Connor Street. Now there will be road closures in place, so if anyone's listening to podcasts, it's just, you know, there's notices going out on them, so there'll just be traffic diversions and things like that. There won't be too much putting people out. So what will happen then is we'll put the stage on O'Connor Street, 10 foot by 16 foot will cover a proper mini stage, right? So we're going to put that out there from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Saturday, and from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Sunday. So there's going to be DJs up there, bands and things like that across the board: ska, mod, northern soul, rockabilly, punk, new wave. We even got a guy. We have a band coming down from Dublin, the Cosmonauts, and they're a surf. Do you know they just have the B movies in the 60s?
I'm fairly sure. Yeah. Do we see them in Dublin one night? I think.
They're fantastic.
We came across
they're really
is
out there. So what we're doing on Saturday then, we'll have in Hanover Street, we're going to have a number of stalls which will be selling vintage stuff like clothes, records, memorabilia. We also have some food stalls too. So we have two food stalls booked in. One is Badass Burritos, which is chicken. It's a new burrito trailer. It's fantastic. And there's also Zero Pizzas are going to come down. So we have pizza and we have Mexican burritos and tacos. And we have also coffee and tea from Outcast Promotions as well. So basically that's that, and then we have a few stalls, as I said. We're going to have Saturday then afternoon the music at the stage, and then Saturday night from 8 o'clock to close we'll have music, we'll have a rockabilly band, The Nervous Breakdown. So this is an exclusive for you, so this is not out there yet where the venue is. They'll be in Tully's between 10 and 12 on Saturday the 13th. Then on we have a big huge Northern Soul night on in the Vintage Tea Rooms, so we should give that a plug. Then Saturday night then, say, we're going to have Donald Deneen. This is another exclusive for you as well. Donald Deneen is going to be playing in Downs as part of a kind of an old disco night we're going to put in there. And that'll be free in now as well. Then the Tea Rooms, then we're looking at a bit of rockabilly in there then as well. I just have to finalise, it's just a later kind of event. But the main events then on Saturday night is one is Tommy Hunt and a band called Malice and Dooley's Hotel.
Yeah, they're really good, yeah.
Band called Malice are the number one jam cover band. So this one is kind of for all the mods out there and scooter boys and skinheads and things like that. Then you have, say, about Tommy Hunt. Tommy Hunt was one of the original Northern Soul icons. So he's American. He's 85 years of age, guys. I have to have a high stool up in the thing. So he'll be sitting down. But he's a proper showman. It's going to be brilliant. He's had some anthems now in the Northern Soul scene too. So I'm really looking forward to that. And it's another exclusive too for you because it hasn't gone out there. So we couldn't do this event without doing something to celebrate what was the Norris Minor and the music move. So on Saturday the 13th, again, we're going to have the Tracy's Hotel, which was the bridge, which was known as a music venue back in the 80s, where many big acts played, like the Charltons, the Pogues played in there, etc. So we're going to be putting an Norris Minor music move night in there, and the bands are going to be Digital, which are a Joy Division cover band. They're phenomenal from Cork.
Digital.
And then they're going to be the Defiant Pose is going to be playing. They were a kind of a new wave band in the 80s. Then we have Purple Haze that are going to be playing, and they were a rock band in the 80s. And then we also have a band. The Village was one of the biggest bands. There was two bands that nearly made it in the 80s, Nero and The Village. So two members of The Village are going to be playing in a new band called The Red Brick. And The Red Brick is actually the top hospital, or the mental hospital, which was really odd. So, and then obviously that they're going to be playing, so that's going to celebrate what they're doing. Then on Sunday then we're going to have the street festival again in Hanover Street or Connaught Street. So we'll have the food closing and that. We'll have the music on stage with bands and DJs and finishing at 6. But an extra bit on Sunday is the vintage cars, scooters and motorbikes. So we're going to have that in Gladstone Street. So Gladstone Street will be closed on Sunday. And we have a number of cars, number of scooters. So if anyone is out there listening to podcasts, would get in contact with us. We'd like to see their old bikes. So we're trying to do anything over 30 years old. And there's going to be prizes too for best vintage, best restoration and best original. So if the more original it is, you get a trophy, you know, so not being touched in its original condition. So we're going to have that, and that's been kindly being sponsored by JK Welch's as well. Suppose, are there anything else to add to it? I suppose, look, I've told you loads anyway, and I don't know how I'm going to do it all on my own. I have had friends, people been helping me as well, like, and I have to shout out to them. There's so many people to mention, and it'd be a shame to just mention then forget someone, because that's the kind of thing I have so much going on in my mind. But the amount of people that have come in and contributed towards the festival, and I suppose in particular the documentary that have opened up their doors for me, that's been the biggest privilege for me, to be able to delve into why these people wanted to be so different, like say the freewheelers, like Lenny and Blue. Like, I've been in the clubhouse, they've taken down the posters on the walls of the clubhouse, tickets to everything. They brought me down there, Lenny, to his shop, Harry Davidson, Warnford. You know, he's getting me photographs, he's getting me stuff like that they've done that no one ever seen, only the club members. And I was able to delve into why they wanted to be different and how they seen their lifestyle as well, obviously, and the GIs, the number ones, and like that. Yeah. That all came like, and as well, if you look into it, they got a lot of bad press, you see, the bikers. In the 60s, a lot of negative movies being made. Yeah. The bikers were gunner and whatever, right? So that's how they got a lot of bad press, and people see them as scary. So I suppose. Then I suppose, like, you know, there's people that are not being with us anymore as well, like, and getting their family members telling us the stories and getting photographs, and it means a lot to them as well that these people have been celebrated. So that's been the biggest thing for me so far, I suppose.
Excellent. I like, Jesus, the best interviewee we've ever had, because like I literally had a couple of questions lined up and you've actually answered them all before I've even got a chance to ask. Absolutely, that's amazing, like to cover that amount of work and put that amount of effort into a festival that celebrates Waterford, which and this is the thing that I love about Waterford since I've moved here, is like Waterford is very much, it's very Irish, but at the same time too it's very independent of Ireland in terms of its identity is very strong, and it's a very welcoming environment where like you're encouraged to be different and be who you are in Waterford, yeah. And that's fantastic. Yeah. Jesus Christ, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to go to get as many of these things as possible over that weekend.
See, unfortunately, some of them are clashing for some people, but
that's the nature of the
Donal Deneen. I know, like, Donal, see, what I tried to do on the Saturday night with the Donal Deneen gig, because Donal actually was the no disco thing, and he kind of was in the 90s, so the indie thing happened then around. So Dominic is playing with him. He used to run a club called Seventh Heaven, which was an indie club, and so he's supporting Donal Deneen. So I was trying to do the 90s indie thing, and then I was doing the North Minor music moves as the 80s thing, the Northern Soul Mod thing. So I'm trying to just break
and out. So many people would have crossed over as well, that's the thing.
Definitely, you know.
No, and I think when you were talking to the bikers there, I was really fascinated, because to be honest with you, like, my favourite TV series of all time, I think I mentioned it in a previous podcast that we did, with Sons of Anarchy. I just thought it was absolutely fantastic, and the fact that we've got like a motorcycle club in Waterford, and I see them going around with the jackets, and I just think, my God, like, you know, it's such a brilliant sense of identity to have and stuff like that. Like,
they started in a shed on Belvedere Drive, and there was about 8 or 11 members at the start. And they are now one of the biggest biker clubs in Europe. And like, they have members in Derry, they have members all over the country, Tipperary, Dublin. So, you know, the boys are like, it's a way of life for him, you see. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, and like, what it's like what Lenny said to me as well. It's like, when the mods, a lot of mods faded away, like now saying that all my men's, and I didn't even see the mod dress in me when I go out. But as all the lads, we were all mods growing up, so we'd still be influenced by that. But the biker thing didn't. It was like, you got the more older you got, the better it recognised you got, you know?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah. And I suppose the thing that I think is, with respect to that kind of, that culture and stuff like that, and the whole concept of subculture and counterculture and stuff is, especially in the modern era when like with social media and stuff like that, it's so simple to just conform to a norm, but to actually like stand out and say, no, this is my identity, this is what I'm interested in and stuff, like,
definitely.
But there's a counter contrast with like doing that in the 80s in Ireland when like it's a like Catholic, wear your shirt and tie,
see, that's what I'm studying, that's what I come back to. I'm doing social science and wit at the moment. And you know, that's what I love people. I've always been a friendly, outgoing looking guy. All of my life, I'd always been nice to people. It's just the only way to think to
just
do it.
Before you go on, for we've a lot of international listeners. The WIT is the Waterford Institute of Technology. Yeah. It's a local college here.
Yeah. So basically, what it is as well with this thing, especially the 80s, it's going. The Catholic Church was losing its grip on Ireland. It's like what you said. You had to go to Mass on a Sunday. There's no, like, the women went up to Northern Ireland to get the contraception. They blew up condoms and all, going into the station. The police wouldn't, or the guards wouldn't even bloody search them. There was like, you know, Ireland, like, was at that time, like you said, there was no mobile phones, no internet or anything like that, and people wanted to dress like this. You go down and you'd see a punk guy going around with his hair spiked up and a big jock chain around his neck and saying, what the hell is this? But they just wanted to have their own identity, not being told what they did. And music as well, I suppose, and fashion as well, and the whole social side of it for them. They made friends, and they're friends for life. So it's fascinating. But it is
funny that you're saying they're friends for life, and like, you know, like that aesthetic that they had, you know, say the spiked up hair, like, you know, very scary looking bunch of lads, like all the biker boys that you see, they're fucking big hairy mollies, like fucking big beers, everything, like big guys as well, like, you know. Yet, like, I went for a walk in Tremore there about, say, a month ago, and I think there was a classic car show on the prom there, and like all our families, everything out there, they're all there supporting community event. Like, it's amazing how much of a community feel there is to those boys, and like they celebrate that, and like they bring it in. So
it is fascinating, because what it is a lot of people would have, like, that was in the norm, that would have seen these things. Well, why are they different and all that? Why are they changed? But they're not that different,
they're not,
really.
No.
They're actually human fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters. You know, and
actually celebrate community more, yeah, so than probably,
oh, yeah,
all,
like,
the
if,
person,
you, if you look, like, and I hope Derek Burns is also a member of the Free Willers. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but Derek's wife passed away very, very young. It was very, very sad a few years ago, and Derek then took the bull by the horns then and started up this Boobs and Balls rally with the support of the Free Willers. And every June they run a Waterford and a bike fest. And all the money they raise, like, goes to the Solace Centre for helping people suffering with cancer and people that are grieving from cancer. And the guys raise thousands, so they do so much for the community. And, like, as well as that, when I was interviewing Lenny, like, the guys used to hang around with Bono and the Edge and all that, like, and up in Dublin. And they were at another guy's wedding, and Lenny told me he's here with Kiefer Sunderland next to him, and they're having pints, like, you know, back in the 80s. So the guys have met, like, you know, we're friends,
yeah,
with you
absolutely.
Too, like, you know, and Bono used to come down. They all have Harleys, like, as well, the Edge and you and Bono.
But I think as well, a great point you make there about the guys raising money for the Solace Centre and stuff like that. Like, the irony is the person who's discriminating against them, like, yeah, you know, in their head, walking down the street saying, geez, that guy's a weirdo, whatever, they're benefiting from,
yeah,
that person volunteering their time to raise funds.
The fear wouldn't be as much now.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
know,
yeah.
But
not
if you
now.
Went back to the 80s, like, at the end, like, to say, Jesus Christ, why are they, like, being,
yeah,
different, you know? Because it was like the norm, like,
yeah,
you know, it was
not to show anyone's age here now, people, given that myself and Owen were both born in 1990, like, we've been blessed that we've grown up in an Ireland that has been, like, more progressive and,
yeah,
and
yeah,
etc. Whereas, like, for you guys to be so, like, I suppose, forceful in your identity, and at the time when it was a lot harder to be that,
yeah,
way, like,
but,
geez,
yeah,
it actually, like, it's people like that. Like, forced Ireland to become modern, become,
yeah,
more
is,
progressive,
yeah,
so, and people.
We're counterculture movement,
yeah,
subcultures, you know, and people like I'm studying cults at the moment then as well, and,
yeah,
like, and now they identity in groups. So there's a much difference in the dress code. But even, like, going back to my dad now, God rest in peace, he passed away a good few. I remember when I was only, like, in my late teens, like, playing Otis Redding, and my father said, "Turn off that crap, you know, go away, dad." Like, Otis Redding, Knock at the Bay, and,
yeah,
I love one of my. And he'd hate it, like, you know,
yeah,
and it was,
yeah,
like, I was not, like, 60 soul music, like, and we were loving it. We'd have the scooters and the clothes, and so we didn't have much money either, like, but also, you know, when we're talking about how things have changed, like, there's a social side to the documentary as well. The glass factory, if you had a job in the glass factory, you were laughing, your families were in there, but that was probably the only one, really. We had a docker strike that lasted and broke the back of the docks, which lasted for years. Waterford, I'm waiting for video clips to come back. I've requested them from RTÉ Archives, and I'll be putting them in the documentary. And there's one there, you know, City Square. You could see the Wimpy, and everything else around that was like World War II, like a bomb had gone,
yeah,
in. It was derelict. And the mayor at the time, he was being interviewed, and he was just saying how Waterford's been bypassed all the time by the government's den. And unfortunately, like, even though we are kind of promoting Waterford, how great we are, the government, and it's unfortunate because Leo Varadkar actually, and they say it's not what you know, who you know. His mum is from Dungarvan, and so he's half Waterford, really, you know. So, I'm just very disappointed,
yeah,
about the lack of investment. But look, there are for our future. The future is bright. We get the North Keys, get things like that happening, like the Cultural Quarter is definitely going to be happening. You know, it's going to be opening up to the arts and things like that. And, you know, that's where, like, we have to kind of, it's like what Ollie Breslin said to me one day too, they're organic.
Yeah.
You know, we'll organically make this thing happen. Because,
yeah,
what will happen is, and what I hope to achieve out of the Waterford Retro Festival is to install enthusiasm and confidence and in people to say, you know, hold on a minute, we can do this and we go farther with it. Because I have big plans for the future,
yeah,
for the festival as well.
But I think you've actually struck a chord with me there on something that I'm incredibly passionate about, and I spend a lot of my time on my personal Twitter account berating people about and going mad at is this whole concept of, like, you know, Waterford is bypassed and the South East is completely ignored, and, like, the whole cardiac care situation at the moment, which is disgraceful. So for, like, our foreign listeners or for listeners who aren't based in Waterford, like, in Waterford you've no cardiac care outside of 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, which is beyond a joke. Like, we're a cancer centre in the South East and all that. We cater for hundreds of thousands of people in a Western European democracy, yet we don't have cardiac care.
Should
outside
we turn around as well as, like, the HSC, how it's been managed, just the Health and Safety Executive is our health board here, and if for any overseas listeners, and like we said, about the 5 million being paid on,
yeah,
the morgue, but yet 2 million to get a 24/7 cardiac,
yeah,
care unit built is,
you can't get it.
It's like circles don't go into squares,
no,
in my mind, like, you
no
know, like,
absolutely
that, you know.
And like, the prioritisation in the health system,
yeah,
at the moment in Ireland is completely,
yeah,
wrong. I think you're spot on with that. But also I think there's some, like, great the great thing about this is right, you can campaign and strike and all that kind of stuff, but when you do really progressive things like promote your culture, promote yourself, create these festivals that like give a sense of community, a community will stand together then. And you'll only ever achieve stuff that you need by standing together, especially on a national scale. And we currently have a health system that's run nationally, so you have to stand together as a community on that. Owen, you definitely have something to add to this, I'd say.
No. I was actually just going to switch it on because, like, we've never had someone who's organised a festival before, right? So could you just
never
give me...
We've never had someone organised on before.
No, never. Normally pissheads. But could you just, like, just give me a rundown as to, like... You know, how did you even like get into making the festival? You know,
I don't know if I said it at the start, but I started against the current documentary, which is about subcultures and Waterford.
Why did you do that?
I was part of that subculture in two different divisions. And the original one was we're going to do the documentary, which that'll be shown on the 12th and 13th, but I was doing a book with it as well.
Brilliant.
So that's why I did it. I seen that, like, you know, there's a lot of my story. I think I seen something happening. And it was about one guy, Wacker Mulrooney, and all that picture coming up and all that. And then I seen something about the freewheelers coming up. And I was like, geez, we could be telling their story here, you know what I mean? And we could do it. And then the festival, then you say, like, it's a natural thing for me, you see, because I come from a music background. So I seen, oh, right, hold on a second. And that's the great thing and the unique thing about this festival. It's like we have Tommy Hunt, like, who's an 85-year-old American soul singer. Like, he's not costing me an arm and a leg. I don't have to go out and get U2 to come to this, because this is how original this is, this thing. And the Bangkok Malice, now, it's costing me a good few quid to put a gig on, don't get me wrong, but, you know, like, this is about the original. And I have a guy come over from Spain as well, a fella from, the Basque country, I'll rephrase that, sorry. And, actually, he's coming over as well. So, you know, they celebrate ska. So I don't have to keep it original, you know. So this is how it's unique. It's like the Joy Division cover band now. I'd be loving to get New Order or something like that. But look, we could look that down the road. But, you know, you don't have to go along and book in U2 or whatever, like, you know. But I'll be working to get some big acts now over the next few years too. I have big plans for it and to expand as well. So I've been in talks with other people too. I won't give you that one now.
Yeah. Oh no, listen, we got enough exclusives. I just wanted to make a point here about, say, you're talking about like Joy Division cover band, and then that makes me think about, geez, one of my favourite songs is the Wombats' Let's Dance, the Joy Division, and then it made me think of, geez, when I listen to that, I keep thinking about, for some reason, it brings me back to a time where, like, we had cassettes, and then I'm like, we actually had lunch today with a friend of ours, Maura O'Connor, and we were chatting, like, Maura's 24, 25, and we're 28, 29, we were joking, saying she probably never had to record something onto a cassette. And she said, what's that MP3? And I was like, oh God, fuck. So I just want to ask you, your fondest memory of recording something off a radio or tape onto a cassette? I'd say you did plenty of it.
Oh, I did indeed. We'd all had to jam or something getting taped on it. But I think, we remember the old thing, press, record, two buttons. One
record and play at the same time.
Record and play. So we used to put that next to the record player, the crack on the foil. The jammer it, or then the mixtapes, then, like, you know, like your Cork, you said Sir Henry's in Cork, Greg and Shane, they would be friends of mine, they would have been Sir Henry's, like,
they
back
had
in,
Nirvana
sweat.
And everyone
like Sean O'Neill, like, who was the manager at the time. Sean's a very good friend of mine, I haven't seen him in years now.
My dad saw Nirvana in there,
so
I think my mother was heavily pregnant at the time
with you
probably,
you know, so they were kind of iconic too, and they'd have tapes in the early 90s as well. Like, you can get so many apps now, can't you, guys? If you play the music, they tell you what the song is.
Yeah.
What was the name of that tune? And there's actually another, like, the guys that have progressed the dance scene here in Waterford Republic. I was only talking to Warren, and basically what they're trying to do now is a no phone policy on the dance floor.
Yeah.
They don't want people taking photographs because it takes away from the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So the 90s, like, no one had a phone, no cameras.
Great atmosphere.
So it has changed, you know, and I suppose, look, this is the modern times now too. You have to adapt with it. Like, I suppose, like, when we're talking technology now, I suppose one of the things I seen years ago, I was going to Liverpool, actually North Wales, but I had to fly to Liverpool and drive down to North Wales. It was on Christmas Eve, and the flights were delayed because of the heavy winds. and I looked around, and everyone, I mean everyone now, I'd say 99% of the people were either on a phone, a laptop, or a tablet.
An iPad, yeah.
So, you know, that's where we're going now. So, I suppose, look, there are going to be social things around that now as well. Like, people are pulling it down, you know. So, look, you know, but this is where we're at.
It's funny, there's, and like you said, there's probably eventually going to be a counterculture or subculture of people who are just ignoring it and doing their own thing on their nights out and stuff like that, which would be brilliant.
They're not allowed to have mobile phones to join.
There might be a documentary on that in a couple of years as well. Or, like, I think, like, my favourite thing about, do you want to say, like, this podcast you can listen to on Spotify, and Spotify you can also listen to any music from most eras, which is great in a sense, and it I suppose opens it up to a lot more people. But one of our favourite bands is Daft Punk, and my favourite memory of recording something onto a phone, onto a cassette, was the Atlantic 252. And whatever it was, the split second before they played One More Time, I was set up ready to go, and I got One More Time by Daft Punk perfect on cassette without any interruptions or breaks or anything. So I boxed that one off. But listen, Keith, absolute fucking pleasure to have you down here today and talking. Nice. It's been absolutely brilliant. I've told you too much. No, not at all. Like, listen, maybe you thought you have, but we're delighted. Like, and just listening to there made fucking hairs in the back of my neck stand up. Can't wait to get down to this festival and have a look. And I can't wait to see the documentary too. And you're so busy at the moment. Really appreciate the time that you've taken. Oh, and parting word for the lads.
Yeah, Keith, I just want to again say thanks a million. Like, and I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. Like, not only what you're doing with, like, who you've brought in, but, like, you're actually celebrating places of the past as well. Like, you know, like, you're bringing in Tracy's Hotel, and having Bridge Hotel. Like,
it's like going back, you can't go back any farther.
That's exactly it. Like, you know,
that's where all the big gigs were in there.
That's it, absolutely, exactly. And it's brilliant that you're bringing things up this end of town, because it has definitely been forgotten. Like, there's pubs here, that Tully's that we're in and stuff, like, you know, I don't know, 10-15 years ago, like, this area was quite forgotten about altogether, like, you know. But there seems to be quite a resurgence coming back here now, like, you know. And
I have people like Ed here, and like Sarah Jane over in the tea parlor rooms, you know. Like, Sarah Jane, what she runs is a very fantastic bloody outfit, you know. Really authentic to, like, even she had President Michael D there a few weeks ago as well, you know, and she's a hard worker, you know, and they're the type of people that make this area work, you know?
Again, yeah.
It's been one of my favourite podcasts so far. I'm actually like, I can't believe this is going to be brilliant. Like, as I said, I did a little bit of research into the festival, didn't know too much about it, and after this I'm actually can't wait. Listen, Pat, thanks
guys,
a million.
No problem, guys.
On the
thanks.
Ball, brilliant. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.